My subject this morning is entitled, What Do You Think of the Cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm reading from John 19, verse 17 and 18. The scripture says, And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. Now our Lord Jesus Christ was in the garden with his disciples praying when a band of men and officers led by Judas, who had been sent there by the high priest, came and arrested him. They took the master to Annas, first of all, who was the father-in-law to the high priest, and there he was questioned and mocked and ridiculed. And then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And from there, our Lord Jesus Christ was taken to Pilate, to the judgment hall. And Pilate turned him over to the soldiers to be scourged. And you've read many times how the master was beaten, how he was spit upon, and how he was mocked of the soldiers. They put a crown of thorns on his head and a reed in his hand and mocked him as the king of the Jews. And then they brought him back to Pilate. And Pilate was willing to release him. But when the Jews said two things, first of all, they said he made himself the Son of God. And this frightened Pilate. And he took the Lord Jesus back into the judgment hall, and he said, Who are you, and where'd you come from? And the master would not answer him. And Pilate brought him back out before the people, and again he was willing to release him. But the people said something else. They said, This man made himself king, and if you release him, you're not the friend of Caesar. And the scripture said, Then delivered he him therefore unto them. That is, Pilate then delivered Christ into the hands of the multitude to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away to a place called Golgotha, and there they crucified him between two thieves. Now I ask you this morning, this is my question. What do you think of all this? What do you personally think of the cross of Jesus Christ, of the death of Jesus Christ? What do you personally think about all that transpired on this hill called Calvary? Now, I'm not asking you if you have respect for the Bible. Most people do. I'm not even asking you if you believe the Bible, because most people believe much of the Bible today. I'm not asking you this morning if you attend a place of worship. Some of you do. Some of you do not. Some of you attend regularly. Some of you attend once in a while. I'm not asking you if you've made a profession of faith and been baptized, or if you're a church member. Most people are. I'm not asking you today if you live a good moral life, but I'm asking you one question, and I want you to face it, I want you to consider it, and I want you to do something about it. I'm asking you, what do you personally think of the cross of Jesus Christ? Let's isolate our minds and our thoughts on this one thing, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think of the cross of Jesus Christ, of the death of Jesus Christ? What do you think about it? Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18 that the world is divided on this question. He says, The preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ is to them who are perishing foolishness, sheer nonsense. But unto us who are being saved, the preaching of the cross is both the wisdom of God and the power of God. Way back in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah, speaking by divine inspiration, speaks for God, for Christ, and asks this question, What is it to you? What is it to you? All ye that pass by and behold my sorrow and see if there's any sorrow like my sorrow wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. That's the question Jeremiah's asking. What is it to you? What is all this to you? What do you think of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, believe me, this is the most important question that you can face in your entire lifetime. Now, the cross of Jesus Christ is not mere religious tradition and ceremony. The cross of Jesus Christ is not merely a point where men may agree or disagree. The cross of Jesus Christ is not just the death of another religious martyr such as Buddha or Confucius or Mohammed or some of these fellows. According to the Word of God, according to the Scripture, the cross of Jesus Christ and what you feel about it and what your opinion is concerning it and what your relationship is with this person on this cross spells the difference between forgiveness and condemnation. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. The cross of Jesus Christ spells the difference between eternal life and eternal damnation. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The cross of Jesus Christ spells the difference between blessings and cursings. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. The Scripture says in 1 John 5:12, "This is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." In Hebrews 9:22, the Scripture plainly declares, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So this is the most important message I can possibly present to you today. This is the most important question that you can deal with, that you can consider. What do you think of the cross of Jesus Christ? That's where it all is. That's the difference between forgiveness and condemnation. It's the difference between life and damnation. It's the difference between blessing and cursing. And what I'm asking is this. What do you personally, not what does your church or your pastor or your denomination think, but what do you personally think of the cross of Jesus Christ? Now, the Apostle Paul, who was the apostle to us Gentiles, the man sent of God to bear God's message of redemption to you and me, to the Gentiles, declared in no uncertain terms. Now listen to Paul. He declared in no uncertain terms. This is a man who's responsible for the writing of 12 or 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. This is a man whom God used to found many churches. This is a man whom God used as an apostle, one of the 12 apostles. He was one born out of due time. But he said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." He's not discounting the importance of baptism, nor is he discounting the blessings of baptism. He is simply saying that God didn't send him to organize or to promote. God sent him on a mission. And that mission was to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of non-effect. He said, "I've got to preach in such a way that the cross of Christ shall be prominent, that it shall be lifted up, that it shall be the main topic, and in no way is the cross of Christ to be set aside as an afterthought or as a part of our message. It is our message." And then he said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "I am determined," and he's speaking here to the city of Corinth. He said, "I am determined." He's speaking to this great city of wealth and philosophy and education. He says, "I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified," the cross of Christ. Galatians 6:14, listen to him again. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. God forbid that I should glory, that is, boast, take pride in, exalt, anything. Now, what could Paul have gloried in? Well, he could have gloried in his ancestry. He was a Jew, a Hebrew of Hebrews, born of the tribe of Benjamin. He could have boasted in his education. He was a most highly educated man. In other words, one of the leaders said to him one day, "Much learning hath made you mad. You've studied too much. You've lost your mind." He might have gloried in his position. He was, after all, an apostle. He might have gloried in his gifts. He said, "I speak with tongues more than you all." He's a man who healed folks, had great power. God gave him great gifts and power and ability. He might have boasted in his office. He might have boasted in his revelations. He was a man who not only wrote Scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit, but had been taken into the third heaven and saw things he said it was not lawful, possible for him to utter. But no, he said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when we say we preach the cross of Christ, what do we mean? When we say that we glory in the cross of Christ, what are we talking about? When I ask you today, what do you think of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? What actually am I asking you? What is this cross? Well, now, sometimes in the Bible, the word cross means the tree on which Christ was crucified. I'll give you two or three examples. It says in Philippians 2 that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's talking about the type of death, the ignominious, humiliating death of shame on a Roman tree. That's the cross in that scripture. Again, it said, "And he bearing his cross went forth to a place called the place of the skull, Golgotha." That's the cross that he bore. Now, sometimes the scripture uses the word cross referring to that cross on the hill. That's not what I'm talking about today. And then sometimes the word cross means the trials and afflictions of believers. The scripture says, "Take up your cross and follow Christ." Well, I'm not supposed to take a wooden cross and drag it around the street like I've seen people do. You know, that's not what we're talking about. That word cross there is talking about trials and burdens and afflictions. "In this world ye shall have tribulation." But when Paul said, "I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ," when Paul said that the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness, to us who are being saved, the power of God. When I ask you, what do you think of the cross of Jesus Christ, I mean this. Now listen to me. Listen. Be quiet now. Listen. I mean the atonement made by Christ when he suffered on that tree. The atonement of the Master. I'm talking about the sacrifice. I'm talking about the sin offering which he accomplished on that tree. I'm talking about the all-sufficient redeeming work of our Lord Jesus Christ in taking the place of, dying in the stead of, bearing the sins of, suffering under the affliction of the wrath of God for believers. That's what I'm talking about. Now, listen to some scripture in Ephesians 1:7. It says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood," through his death, through the blood of his cross, "the forgiveness of sin." That's what we speak. What do you think about that? In Ephesians 2:16, it says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by his cross. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself on that cross. That's what I'm talking about. What do you think of that? Colossians 1:20, it says, "And having made peace with God," peace between the sinner and God, God and the sinner, "having made peace through the blood of his cross." That's what I'm talking about. Isaiah 53:4, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him," on that cross, "the iniquity of us all." Now, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a cross that you hang from your Bible or wear in your lapel or around your neck or stick on the steeple of your church. I'm not talking about trials and afflictions and burdens which men bear. When I say, "What do you think of the cross?" I'm talking about the cross. I'm talking about the atoning work, the sacrificial work, the satisfying work, the substitutionary work, the sufficient work, the redeeming work, the effectual work of Jesus Christ, which he accomplished on that cross when he died in the room of, in the place of, in the stead of those who believe. That's what I'm talking about. What's your opinion of that cross? Now, let me sound a warning, and this is so important. Beware, my friend, of any religion, no matter how beautiful it looks or how sweet it sounds. Beware of any religion if the central theme of that religion is not Christ and him crucified. You may read the Bible. You may study theology. You may approve of the law. You may do good works. You may talk of peace and love. But I'm telling you this, redemption is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Redemption is by the blood of the Son of God, without which there is no forgiveness. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus Christ died and that he died for me. We are redeemed, Peter said, not with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot or blemish. It couldn't be stated any clearer. It couldn't be made any plainer. Let me sound another warning. Beware of the error of the Galatians. You say, preacher, what's the error of the Galatians? Trying to mix human works with the blood of Christ. Trying to mix law, circumcision, ceremony with the cross of Christ. It can't be done. Salvation is by what he did and not what you do. It is by his blood and not by your works. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, there are thousands of churches today with crosses on their steeples, but no cross in their pulpit. There are thousands of sermons preached every day in which there's no Christ crucified. And I warn you, do not listen, do not follow, do not support any religion if Christ crucified is not the central theme, because that's where redemption is accomplished. Let me tell you something else. Let me sound another warning. Beware of any hope, however sweet it is, however precious it is to you. Beware of any experience or any hope of acceptance with God, or for that matter, of any relationship with God apart from the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, I say to you, my friend, that all religions have their laws and moral precepts. There's not a religion on this earth that doesn't have strict laws and moral precepts. All religions have their forms and ceremonies, and very impressive, most of them. Great, impressive ceremonies. All religions have their rewards and their punishments, their future life and future damnation. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ has a crucified, risen, exalted, ascended Redeemer. Only the gospel has a Redeemer. In every other religion, you are your own Savior. You are your own Redeemer. Christ is a substitute. And without Christ crucified, let me sound another warning to all who hear, without Christ crucified, the church is only a well without water. It has no cause for existence. What do you do with a well if it has no water? Plug it up. Fill it up. It has no cause to exist. It's nothing but a dangerous place that children fall into. Without Christ crucified, the church is a stove without a fire. It's of no value. Without Christ crucified, the church is a lighthouse with no light. It's only a mocking symbol. It is a comfort to the devil and an offense to God Almighty. He told his disciples when he sent them out, go into all the world, preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is concerning his Son. Without Christ crucified, you call on a God who will not hear. He'll only hear men through one mediator, Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus, by his death, bought that right. He is the only high priest, and by his death, he secured that sacrifice. And that sin offering which he brings to God, without the Lamb, there's no coming to God. Without Christ crucified, You stand under a law that's been broken and defiled. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in every point of the law to do it. Without Christ crucified, you come to a judgment without any plea, without any hope. It's appointed unto men once to die and after that the judgment. And if we don't have a mediator, if we don't have an advocate, we come to the judgment without a plea. Without Christ crucified, you talk of a heaven that does not exist. Because in glory, in God's heaven, the theme of heaven, the song of heaven, the glory of heaven is unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own precious blood. Unto Him be glory both now and forever. That's the song. And the population of heaven are those who've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It can't be any plainer. I'm presenting to you that which is essential, that which is absolutely necessary. They said in glory, who are these and whence came they? And the elder said, you know. He said, these are they that came out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are not they that worked and strived and served and gave and offered and walked. They're they who washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I and you, though vile as he, wash all our sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. What do you think of the cross of Christ? What do you personally think of the cross of Christ? What is it to you? What is it to you, all ye that pass by? And behold my sorrow. See if there's any sorrow like the sorrow which the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. What do you think about it? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think. I like to use the words of the Apostle Paul in that Galatians 6:14, which I read. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. But I see some things in the cross of Christ, and I'll give them to you briefly in closing. First of all, I see in the death of my substitute on Calvary's cross, the Lamb of God, I see the eternal purpose of God fulfilled in the death of Christ. You know what God says about His Lamb? He said His Lamb is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He says that His surety is the surety of an everlasting covenant. That the blood that cleanseth, the blood that atoneth, is the blood of an everlasting covenant. This is no new thought. This is no new expression. This is the ancient gospel. This is the gospel of God, which He decreed and purposed and provided from before the foundation of the world. I see that in that Lamb dying on the tree. God's Lamb, designated, decreed, anointed, provided, ordained before the foundation of the world. Secondly, I see in Christ crucified all of the Old Testament promises, all of the Old Testament prophecies, all of the Old Testament types fulfilled in Christ. He is our Passover. Plainly says that in the book of Corinthians, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. It plainly says that that rock which followed them in the wilderness is Christ. That rock that was smitten by Moses, that rock that gave forth the cleansing, refreshing, thirst-quenching water, that rock was Christ. I see Him smitten of God on the tree and coming forth from His side, blood and water, to justify and sanctify His people. I see in Christ on the cross the brazen serpent lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. In Christ crucified, I see every lamb in Old Testament Scripture sacrificed. I see every turtle dove, every goat, every heifer slain, all the blood that was poured out on Jewish altars. I see it fulfilled and coming to a halt in the death of God's Lamb on the cross. I see in Christ crucified God's love for sinners. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I see in Christ crucified God's justice and righteousness fulfilled. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Christ died, He gave His Son as the propitiation for our sins, that He might be just and justify those that believe on Christ. I see the law honored, justice satisfied. I see in Christ crucified the sin debt fully paid. Fully paid. It says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And their sins and iniquities, God said, will I remember no more. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. In Christ crucified, I see hope for all who will believe. No hope except in Christ. But, oh, my friend, what a hope in Christ. In John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through His name. Jew or Gentile, bond or free, old or young, male or female, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your sins, He is the Savior of sinners. His death on the cross is able to justify and to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. And then 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and had given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, even His Son. This, my friend, is the true God and eternal life. What do you think of the cross of Jesus Christ?